Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, good morning. Happy Monday. We've got a preseason game to talk about. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi, Howard out today. We expect him back tomorrow. Corey Jackson producing. What's up? How are you? Football this weekend. We had a lot. You played some golf.
I played golf. I had a fantasy draft. I ate a lot of food.
Oof.
And I'm still recovering from that.
You did one of the bravest things a person can do.
Uh-huh.
Post your golf swing online.
I did do that.
You posted a video of your own golf swing.
Uh-huh.
Which is...
The ball trajectory felt good.
It was a good shot.
The swing was fine.
It was a good shot. Just posting anything like that on Twitter.com... I mean, I'm sure you got like 35 lessons in your responses.
The first reply was, keep your left arm straight. I mean, like there was maybe a little bend, and like there's the guy with left arm straight, buddy.
Yeah.
Just right away.
Yep. I saw that, and I'm like, oh, I could never do that.
Slow motion, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, my buddy took the video. He was taking videos of everybody. He's like, I'll do it slow motion, which opens you up even to maybe even more... Right. Everyone's a golf coach.
Everybody.
I try not to be that. I probably do it once in a while just to do it. Like when my brother golfs, he doesn't golf as much. And like he'll top it. And I'll answer like I know why he topped it.
Right.
When I really have no earthly idea.
I will ask, do you want me to give you any sort of input here? Because sometimes, you know, somebody just lines up correctly and you're like, that's it. Just, you know, turn to the right or whatever.
Right.
But I won't just offer it unless usually people ask. Anyway, good morning. Bills win their preseason debut, a come-from-behind effort to beat the Colts, and win their ninth straight preseason game. So while the Ravens are out there with 21, I guess we got to be on Ravens' watch, because when the Ravens lose, now the Bills are coming for them.
Are we rooting for the Ravens to lose? Is this something we want the Bills to have the longest streak of? Well, Do we care yet?
It's going to take, what do they need, at least 12? And they play three a year?
So we're playing four more years?
All right, put the bet board up. Did the Bills break the Ravens' preseason win record in the new stadium?
Wow.
Put it on the bet board.
Okay.
That's got to be crazy odds, like plus 5,000 for that one. Because, you know, come on, it's the preseason. So anyway, all right, 803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. If you have a thought on what you saw. I mean, the Bills win, and there are some names to bring up. There are lots of things to get to. I, of course, am contractually obligated to talk about the preseason pledge and not get too carried away because, you know, some things looked good, some things looked not so good, and I don't think that Case Keenum is off the team because he looked less than impressive in the Bills' first half.
No. Is Jameson Crowder off the team?
No, because a pass that was high bounced off his hands and got picked off? No. He shouldn't be. I mean, who's he off the team for? Jake Kumerow, who fumbled? I mean, who's taking his spot? And Khalil Shakir looked very good. Five catches for 90-something yards.
Mm-hmm.
Shakir looked that good in the blue and red scrimmage. So you had some good things. Well, of course, talk about punt god. I'll give you the name of the guy that flashed the most to me, though, that I was, I don't even know if I want to say pleasantly surprised, but surprised. On the Bills' opening drive, a running back breaks it to the outside, bounces to the outside, and runs for the corner. And he doesn't get to the end zone. And maybe if it's James Cook, he does. But a Bills running back bounces outside, gets into space, and looks pretty fast. And, ooh, look at that. All right. Zach Moss.
The last running back you would have guessed.
Hey.
Yeah.
Zach Moss. Right. As it's happening, I can't see the number from where I'm sitting in the stadium. And I think, it's not Cook. Singletary? No. Oh, that is Zach Moss. And to borrow... The term, and I've heard Sal say it too, those expecting the death of Zach Moss's career, the reports of his death have been greatly exaggerated. Zach Moss looked pretty good for the Bills, and maybe he does have a spot on this team. He probably does, right?
Mm-hmm.
They signed Duke Johnson, they draft a running back, and Moss, having been in and out of the lineup for 2 years, I think he's probably pretty firmly on this team. So good for Zach Moss. That's one guy that flashed for me.
He looked spry on that run, for sure. I immediately started wondering about what do they do at running back, like week one, like actives, carries. Like Singletary at the end of last season, it's his show completely. And I think maybe we thought that was just, okay, they've given up on Moss. He mentioned after the game he had an ankle injury all last season that he was dealing with. So I don't know, did they just know, hey, he's limited by the ankle, so we're going to go with Singletary the rest of the way? Because I'm wondering now, yeah, week one, if they give out 20 carries week one, how many are Singletary getting? How many are Moss getting? How many are Cook getting? And I'm starting to think the same way, that maybe Moss gets 6, and that would mean he's on the field, that would mean he makes the team and is active for the first game, but... Yeah, if it's being exaggerated how much he's just out of the picture now, then I don't know, like what's in play for him and what's in play for the backfield as a whole. Cook played a little bit, but I don't really think he had a moment on Friday or
no,
Saturday.
No, I don't think so either. And with Cook, we may be expecting him to be the pass catching back. When we talked to Ken Dorsey at camp a couple weeks ago, just asked him, hey, how about Cook as a pass catcher? And, Dorsey did the usual kind of raving like you would about a player with that speed. And he did talk about him, how good he is as a running back. And that's something that remains to be seen. You lay out, you're going to give 20 carries out. How many does James Cook get? 4, if that? I don't know that they'll trust him to be a traditional between the tackles running back, at least not early. He'll probably be a third down pass catching kind of weapon. They're going to want to see how he does in pass protection. Maybe they don't even put him in the backfield for pass protection, but he's only out there to go split out wide when they can exploit a matchup against the linebacker. So what they do at running back is, I'm going to go ahead and guess, I bet they just trust Singletary a lot and sprinkle the other two in. I mean, there's no workhorse on this team. We know that. But I bet Singletary gets as many snaps as Moss and Cook do combined.
This could be the position where you trade a guy, by the way.
Could be.
Last year they have too many defensive ends. So what do they do? Like, it's not a major trade by any means, but all right, Daryl Johnson's being traded for a 7th-round pick because he probably should make the team, but they're just so loaded at that position, they don't have a spot for him. So all right, we'll send him away for a late-round pick.
Yeah.
Do they get to a point of running back where it's, okay, Moss should make this team, and he's had a great preseason and training camp, and... We've got Singletary and Cook. Like, we've got them active. Tywan Jones is our special teams guy. And I don't know, Duke Johnson had moments. It was more that kick return than anything in the preseason game. But Duke Johnson's going to be our TJ Yeldon, who sits on the bench and only gets a jersey when there's an injury. Are we fine with that? Like, are we comfortable with that? Because if the answer is yes, then they might call around and say, hey, anyone want to give us a 5th-round pick for Zach Moss, a 6th-round pick for Zach Moss?
Which, to me, would seem like the answer probably is no, right? Who's giving up that asset for?
Any running back.
Any running back, never mind a 3rd-round pick 2 years into his deal that you've decided is your 4th. It could happen. I mean, 7th-rounders get thrown out there because you just want to grab somebody and not necessarily deal with a bidding war, I suppose. I mean, Daryl Johnson, as you said, got traded for a 7th, and I don't know exactly what the Bills did with that 7th. I guess we could go find out. But yeah, it's definitely one of the things to try and figure out is what they do at running back. At receiver, meanwhile, Khalil Shakir, I saw Nate tweet this. Like, the way the Bills are showcasing Shakir in this preseason, happened to the blue and red game, is a good sign because he's playing in slot. He's playing on the outside. He's pretty much doing what you'd want any receiver to do. And maybe that makes them look like they're a little bit deeper. I want to pump the brakes on that a lot. Because, it's nice. It's the preseason. He's got sticky hands. He looks pretty good. The idea that you can roll into the preseason, catch a bunch of balls, and then, all right, you're ready to play on the outside. I'd be very, very wary of that. Like, I'm going to slow down on that quite a bit. But I get it. He looks good. Like, the guy looks the part. And if you heard all the preseason hype on Shakir, you're watching him live up to it in every way, pretty much.
I don't know that I want to pump the... Maybe I'm not all the way there where like Nate is, but who's he battling with? I mean...
Nobody, because he's a draft pick that's a rookie. He's...
Yeah, for snaps, though. Like
for snaps, he's battling with Crowder, and he's probably going to out-snap Crowder.
He might also be battling with Kumaro, and well, Stevenson's out of the lineup. Hodgins, same thing. Like for... we've talked about... This was more point for me about like Beckham and why he might be even more valuable as an insurance policy on the outside. If there's an injury to Diggs or Davis, who goes in? And my answer and Sal's answer, like all offseason, seemingly has been it's been Kumaro, given what they have on the roster. And I don't know, could that be Shakir? Could he pick up 10% of the offensive snaps, being the direct backup to Gabriel Davis and Stephon Diggs? They maybe wanted to get a look at that, and that's why he played so much and got so many targets against the Colts. So he could be battling there, and I don't know, maybe he is battling against Crowder. Because if McKenzie is entrenched, as he's going to have a role on this offense, and like that's written in stone, then is it out of the realm of possibility that he could show them enough that you don't need to keep Jamison Crowder on this team at all, maybe, because I'm ready to play 30%, 40% of the offensive snaps.
Yeah, Crowder, it's funny. Like he signed for so little, and he had a real slow start to camp because he couldn't practice. He was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came in and looked the part, and now he had a drop go off his hands. Like what's their allegiance to Crowder? They don't save any money, really, by cutting him loose. So it's not there'd be no money move there. You know, Kumaro, you wonder about Kumaro. They of course, value special teams, as you well know, and Kumaro's been a part of special teams. You don't talk about a mistake. I mean, I think Kumaro's mistake is a bigger mistake than Crowder's. Crowder goes off his hands. Kumaro is legit ball security. I mean, Crowder's trying to make a play there, trying to get his hands on a ball to tie. Kumaro has the ball, and while being wrapped up, it pops out. So I'm not sure the Bills make a difference between the two. But Isaiah Hodgins, you mentioned him very quickly. Sean McDermott singled him out and praised him.
Yeah.
And for the head coach, talk about a guy that's been on the practice squad for a couple of years. I mean, he's Gabe Davis's draft class, and he made a couple nice plays for sure. And that's the guy that, I mean, I'm going to say I've written him off entirely, but, you know, you're a sixth-round draft pick that spent 2 years on the practice squad. I'm going to write you off because they're going to draft other receivers behind you, which they've done, and sign guys too. I don't know how you get in as a guy like Hodgins, but maybe he does find his way in instead of Jake Kumaro. It's a question for Sal about whether or not Hodgins can be an asset for them on special teams, because if he could, my guess is he'd be the guy to replace Kumaro.
The play he makes on that corner, like the release off the line of scrimmage, it might be the nicest play of the entire game by any Bill.
Yeah.
Like him getting open, the separation, and then the ball being there, it's contested by the time the ball's in the air. And like that diving ability to bring that ball in, That was maybe the nicest play of the entire game. So I was impressed by him as well. And he's not, like you said, not someone I was expecting to be impressed by. There certainly are limitations, though. Like, even while I might declare that play was one of the best, if not the best play of the entire preseason game, him beating the corner off the line of scrimmage, going to the outside, diving, making the catch, bringing it in, get them down to the 1 or 2 yard line. If you watch that play, though, you see the limitation to his game. The limitation to his game is just strictly speed. The corner, like that camera angle from the back of the end zone, if you watch that replay from the back of the end zone, he beats the corner so clean off the line of scrimmage. The corner, I don't remember the name, but Colts number 30. He's out of the picture. He's out of the frame by the time Hodgins is heading upfield. And by the time he turns his head around to look to see if the ball is coming, the corner has caught him.
Mm-hmm.
The corner's on him. And I think that is just that's a lack of speed. That's all that is on the outside. You won as cleanly as you could off the line of scrimmage, and by the time you turn to look for the ball, you're covered again. And you had to make a contested catch. That can still be a way that he is serviceable and makes the team and, right, like maybe wrestles that job away from Jake Kumaro, but I'm still watching that player as, Yeah, that's why you were a sixth-round pick. That's why you've been on the practice squad for 2 years, because, man, you just there's not much separation there.
Right. He gets off watching it again here. And it's not like he's slowing down because the ball is underthrown. He's got to dive for that ball. So it's every step that he's got. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. What did you think about the preseason debut for the Bills, your Bills this year? Had a good crowd, of course. Beautiful day. It was perfect. 77 degrees and sunny. If you went to the game, if you watched on television, give us a call. We'll take some calls on preseason game number one.
Did you go to the game?
We did.
Did you stay? You didn't stay to the end, did you?
No, did not stay till the walk-off field goal.
Was there a consideration?
No, not with two 17-month-old children.
Hmm.
We brought the kids to the game again, and it was, end of the first quarter was the plan. We ended up staying about midway, two-thirds of the way through the second quarter.
Okay.
Never thought about staying the whole game. For a preseason game, even without kids, I don't know the last time I stayed for a full preseason game.
Yeah.
It's, anytime you go to a game, you're doing the traffic math in your head,
mm-hmm.
and especially for preseason, the traffic math is, okay, risk-reward. What am I getting by staying to the end versus yep. how long am I going to have to be in traffic? Because, it's not even a full house. If you leave at halftime, you're just, boom, you're going to be out.
Yeah. I've stayed to the end maybe a couple of times in preseason games. I almost wonder if they're... Is there a time earlier in the game where the traffic is heavier? Like, do more people leave the game in the third quarter than the fourth quarter?
That might be right.
Yeah, because there have been times I've stayed to the end, and it's the same thing. Like, you're out.
Yeah.
And that might be any time you leave, though, because it might be actually the perfect, the best part of a preseason game is everyone is choosing to leave at different times, which means nobody's leaving at the exact same time, so you never really have the massive traffic rush.
Yeah, no bottlenecks.
Yeah.
No mad rushes.
The stadium looked, what, were they down two touchdowns with 8 minutes left? Like, it was pretty empty yeah. by the end. Like, if you left late, if you stayed to the end field goal, you probably got right out of there, I'm guessing.
Maybe. And if, you got to see a walk-off field goal, it's pretty cool.
This is street gross. There might be more consideration from fans. Like, let's see if they can go for 10 here.
Yeah.
See if they go for 11.
803-0550. We'll connect with our fans. Brought to you by Gelber & O'Connell. The law firm of Gelber & O'Connell. Take your personal injury case personally. And we'll start off on the phones on preseason game number one. It's preseason for you guys, too, for callers and for us. So, if you want to just, shake off the cobwebs, do what you got to do, you can give us a call and join us. And for some reason, I'm not able to click Mike. So, see if we punch him up. Mike on a cell. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just wanted to say I am thoroughly impressed with Brandon Bean, his scouting department, on how they are just able to fill holes after holes on this team, starting from the punter all the way to the cornerbacks every single year in the draft. The guy's just got a knack for talent. Doesn't matter really what round. If you go back and look at every one of Brandon Bean's drafts, he's finding late-round talent from Milano, to now it looks like Bedford. Bedford is a guy that really popped for me out there on the field. I didn't expect anything out of a sixth-round pick. I'm actually driving to Philadelphia. I work right by Villanova, and the word around there is, he's a stud, and he's going to surprise the NFL. So, just kudos to Brandon Bean and the scouting department for the Bills, because I believe while, you need a quarterback to win in this league, it all starts with the scouting department, and they're probably the best in the NFL.
Maybe. Thanks, Mike. They definitely have they've had some success in later rounds, and not as much success in the middle rounds. 2-3-4 has been hit and miss. You've got Gabe Davis in the fourth.
Yeah.
You've got Dawson Knox, I believe, in the third. Deion Dawkins in the second. But you've got your share of misses. Are they the best? Maybe. The general consensus, I think, is that nobody beats the draft. And, Christian Benford is a nice story. If it comes to the expense of Kyer Elam not being good enough, is that a win? I would probably tell you if one of them is good, I'm fine. But
it won't feel like it, though.
It certainly won't.
If Benford's what you wanted Elam to be and Elam is a bust, then you're not going to feel good about it. You're going to be mad you don't have two great corners.
Right, but you have Tre'Davious White. So I'm not actually saying this. I take the preseason pledge. I'm not taking it too seriously that Christian Benford is all of a sudden like a starting corner in this league. But this gets back to your point about the running backs. If Benford's your second starting corner, well, then trade Elam. I don't actually mean that.
Yeah.
But, you know, okay.
You did just put it out there, though, for someone to clip it and make it.
Sure, sure, sure. I don't actually mean trade him, but, you know, let's be careful on they've nailed everything, because one thing they've done is invested three mid-round picks in running backs in Singletary, Moss, and Cook. That's two-thirds and a second.
That's a lot of capital.
That's a lot of draft capital in running backs, and, you know, we sit here and watch and wonder how good they are at running back. It's not to get on the Bills for what they've done. What they've done is hit on star players, make savvy trades, make savvy signings. Like, they've done a lot of things really well. And, of course, it starts with the quarterback and a couple of foundational pieces at left tackle. Deion Dawkins, a second-round pick that has turned into a franchise tackle. Tre'Davious White. Free agency is obviously a point here, too. Like, the two safeties, Von Miller, their entire defensive line. I don't know, Joe. It's not necessarily picking it apart, but people love to say you build through the draft, and then they just ignore that you do a lot of building in free agency. A lot of it.
They've done a ton of it.
The Bills have done a ton of building in free agency, but free agency is generally poo-pooed, and the draft is celebrated. But free agency has been a lot of this team over the last 5 years. The defensive line, tons of money sunk into the defensive line. The offensive line, generally built through free agency outside of Dawkins on the left side, right? I guess mm-hmm. Spencer Brown steps in now as a draft pick, but that wasn't initially the plan. It was Darrell Williams.
He also wasn't on the starting right tackle on the Bills depth chart. So
right, exactly. So I don't know. I don't disagree really, Mike, with anything you said. Just kind of got me going on a couple things there.
He mentions Bedford, too, and like my first thought is, yeah, everybody that plays corner for them looks great.
That's a good point. That's right.
Like, that's not to take everything away from the player, but who is the corner that has stepped in on Sean McDermott's defense and we've been like, oh, that's that guy's a liability? Has it ever happened? Like, they insulate them.
It really hasn't ever happened, but you'll get someone to say Josh Norman. And the reality is, only when Josh Norman is asked to be the number two. Well, are you comfortable with Cam Phillips? Yeah, pretty much. Cam Lewis. Yeah.
Yeah, Cam Lewis.
You name it. Cam Lewis, yeah, not Cam Phillips. You name it. When they throw a guy out there, I generally feel pretty good about it. It's why I think that Kaiir Elam will probably be fine. Because put him out there in a secondary with Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, and Taron Johnson, and you're probably feeling good. So that's the problem about Benford being good. It's not really a problem, but when who was it? There was a trade. Somebody got
on a corner?
Yeah. Do we want player X? A corner was traded, and for me it was always...
Oh, like last year?
This year. Prove-it deal, bring him in on a prove-it deal.
Joe Hayden? Well, he's not signed.
Maybe. Was it James Bradbury?
James Bradbury, I think, was the guy. The Giants were trying to trade him. They ended up cutting him. The Eagles signed him. Like a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
That was pre-draft. That was happening. Should we trade for Bradbury?
I'm trying to remember who it was. It might have been him. The idea of bringing somebody in on a cheap prove-it deal at corner was always, to me, silly. Like, guys want to play on prove-it deals, and there aren't spots to play if it was post-draft. Anyway, not important. I'll think of it probably in the break. Thanks, Mike, for the phone call. Your reaction, your thoughts on the Bills' preseason debut, and of course, we haven't mentioned, and we got to get to, Matt Araiza's debut on the scene. He made NFL.com. He dropped jaws around the league in the stadium, watching at home. The Bills' punter probably steals the show more than anything. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We'll go over the preseason pledge, and I'll give you some more context to it because... I still think that it's important. You know, if you think everybody on the Bills is great, you got to hand Rookie of the Year to Kenny Pickett. You got to do it. And you got to say George Pickens is a Hall of Famer. You got to do it right now. Or the preseason maybe is, you know, just a glimpse. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi here on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.